Greetings, salutations, and welcome to the Plains Talkers Podcast, the show by casuals for casuals. I'm your host, Will Benson, joined as always by my, hey, at least we haven't got anything going on, and I'm an essential worker co-host, Aramis Perez. Aramis, how are you tonight, sir?
I might be essential, but all I'm interested in right now are live drafts on Arena. I can't wait.
Wow, wow, way to bury the lead, dude.
Buried.
Way to, like, you know what, spoiler alert. Jeez, we might as well get right into it. Oh my gosh, I almost forgot something. 1 second.
Uh-oh. He forgot to untap, didn't he? He's running away. He flat ran away. If you're watching this, there he goes. He left. He left me by myself. I'm scared. Please help. Send help.
I am so glad we moved the fridge up here. What's up?
Nothing. Everything's fine. Everything's great. Don't call the police.
All right. Yeah. Before we begin, we'd like to remind you that this episode and every episode of the Plains Talkers podcast is sponsored by Kerwin's Game Store. Kerwin's Game Store is New York State's premier source for collectible card games, tabletop games, miniatures, comic books, retro video games, and toys. With their clean, open gaming areas available to everyone at no charge, Kerwin's provides a fun and inviting atmosphere for new and experienced gamers alike, with locations in both Catskill, New York, and now on the second floor of the Poughkeepsie Gallery in Poughkeepsie, New York. Kerwin's Game Store is the best place in gaming. Don't forget, folks, you can get 5% off any online order when you use the promo code PlainsTalkers at checkout. And we're hoping that eventually the New York State ban lifts and then we can actually start ordering cards from there again. But I did talk to Steve last week. They're doing pretty good over there. He's hunkered down and everything's going well. He's keeping good talks with his staff. So far, everybody's healthy. So
good.
You know, but I wanted to let Steve know we were thinking about him and now it's checking that on him. So. Absolutely. We also want to take this time here to recognize and thank our Planeswalker patrons, Ian, Walter, George, Josh, and Zach, who really do help the show in so, so many ways. Guys, we've drawn for our events in April. We did it last week when we played Walter for the March event. And for this month, George has won the Play the Host contest. So he'll be playing me at some point this month. We're going to get together, get our schedules straight. And then Walter won the Play My Deck contest, which he's already sent us a deck list for. So Aramis and I just got to circle a date on a calendar, and we'll go to town and put that stuff together. If you want to get into these drawings, just go to patreon.com/planestalkers, and you can find out more information there. But this is also untapped, and I did almost sprain my ankle, so I'm going to untap this tonight.
Yeah,
that
better be the best beer ever. Is it invisible?
No, I left the... Yes, it is not invisible. It's another Great Lakes because I couldn't grab the double IPA, and plus, you don't want this show going off the rails tonight. So, drinking some Dortmunder Gold. So,
if I can see the beer, it's not the best beer.
No, but it's still good beer.
Because invisible beer is the best beer, and I don't even drink. So, that's just my opinion, and I'm sticking to it.
Right. Well, it's funny because Wendy's been doing, she's been doing these online lessons. So, she's using Zoom. And so has been green screening now because, you know, it's easier for her kids and all of that. And she gets to put her background in there. So, like, for a while there, it was really rough because, like, I had my old, basically, for lack of a better term, ghetto green screen over there. The one I made with, like, all the pieces of green paper on her side. And it was looking terrible. So she's like, no. Go to Amazon. It's $20. Just go get another one. So now we have an entire wall of green screen behind me. So it's kind of cool. She's happy. I'm happy. It looks a little better now and a little bit more stable.
Yeah, my brother-in-law has been doing a lot of the meetings on Zoom as well with the green screen, and he makes sure to green screen in like walls full of toilet paper saying, you guys need any supplies? I'm stocked up back here.
Oh, I didn't even think about that. I did do a meeting once with a dumpster fire behind me, but I got kind of yelled at for that.
Ooh. You're like projecting much?
How about you, man? How's things going for you? Are you keeping healthy? How's the kid? How's the wife?
We're doing good. We haven't killed each other yet, which I think is a plus.
Well, it's definitely unusual. I haven't heard of any COVID murders, but I wonder if they would ever advertise that.
I don't know that they would. I'm sure that you know what? I'm going to just skip that and just move on to the next part of it because kid's doing good. Still out of school. You could tell he's getting a little stir crazy because he can't play with his friends. I see your weird beer face, which is strange.
It's weird because it's a lager, but it tastes like an ale.
Yeah,
it's a very straight. It's a Dortmunder Gold lager, which I assume means it's probably more of a yellowish. I'm used to lagers being a little darker, and It has a very light taste to it. I don't not like it. It's very, it's actually very refreshing. But I was just, I saw a lager. I was prepared for a certain taste that this is definitely interesting. I'm kind of down with it. I'm all right with it. I'm sorry. Continue. I didn't mean to interrupt. I was just, it was not a taste I was expecting.
I saw the face and I was concerned. So I was just reaching out for your safety.
Oh, I appreciate that. Nothing is skunked, man. We're on Corona lockdown, man. Beer is coming in and going out at a rapid pace.
Oh, jeez. Your poor liver.
Oh, the Saturday night calls with our college friends. I can't even discuss them.
God. But yeah, so, you know, kid, like I said, kid's doing good. Wife's doing good. Mother-in-law's fine. You know, everybody's healthy here. I'm hoping everybody's healthy over there.
Yeah, for the most part, we had the kids this weekend. So, oh, look at this. Walter wants to know what's up, and I know that Dwayne's in there as well. So, the kids are doing okay. My dad called me. I've got two uncles that are one has been diagnosed, so he's down. He's down with it. So I'm praying because he also has double pneumonia. So it's scary in some ways, and so I'm praying for your Uncle Gene, just so you know. You know, but my Uncle Lee, too, he doesn't have the corona, but he's in the hospital with some other bacterial infection of some sort.
Yuck.
And it's scary because, I mean, he's in Arizona, and he, you know, my dad and him live in that part of Arizona that is all the old people that normally would be leaving now, but they've actually been like, you can't go home. So the snowbird, because where they are in Arizona, believe it or not, Arizona's like the Florida of the West. It's where... Yeah. Snowbirds go on that side of the country.
Oh, absolutely, because it's a great place to go because the humidity is usually so right. low. It's really good for arthritis and things like that.
And tuberculosis, that sort of thing, yeah. So, I mean, it's, you know, so I'm keeping both of them in my thoughts and prayers, and I'm asking for that as well. But, I mean, my dad's healthy, his wife's healthy, she's got, you know, some stuff going, but she's all right. My sister's, we don't know yet, she's been tested. So, but me and Wendy are good, the kids are good. We just sent them back today. And not a day too soon. But, and they're not here next weekend. So, I love the kids. But... And how is, yeah, so did you do the bunny thing this yesterday or anything? Or
so what we did, we actually did a Zoom meeting, and we sort of broadcast his little Easter egg hunt to our friends and family. So he was able to do that. And
where was my invite? I didn't get my link.
You know,
what's wrong with you, man?
No, don't even worry about it.
I just realized you're wearing your Monday purple shirt.
Yeah, because it's Monday.
Yeah, I know. It's still weird to me. I'm sorry. I guess we should probably get into this. I mean, you know, we've been sitting here chit-chatting now for about 8 minutes. But so anything else major going on before we dive in? Oh, well, I probably should be like what we're covering tonight, huh?
You might want to talk about that.
Untap and Upkeep, right?
Magic podcast, so we should talk about magic. God, get on
Madden. We're going to talk about Madden. Boom! All right. So I'm going to get the chalk outline. I'm going to start writing on the wall and be like, okay, now you got the Ikoria guy. Godzilla's coming in. He's going to tackle the Mothra right here. Boom! No, I'm sorry. Is that what you mean by Madden podcast?
No.
Well, tonight, obviously, we're going to talk about the Ikoria spoilers. The whole set's been, I shouldn't say spoiled, but it's been released previewed, I guess.
Previewed. Revealed.
Previewed,
something.
Spoiled.
Came out of the ocean. Godzilla, roar.
Yeah. We know what they are. We know what it is now. They are what we thought they were.
Mm-hmm. You play to win the game.
I still love it. They are who they thought we were. Okay, anyway, moving on. Oh, dead horse. And then we're going to do into combat. We're going to pivot from there into combat. We want to talk about what cards we think are going to break standard. I have a few ideas. So does Aramis. Really, we may spend more time in main 2 than we did main 1 tonight. Because we're going to be talking about the arena state of the game. There was a lot of information that came out there today. Stop it. Spoiler alert. We're not going there yet. That's in main 2. Cut it out.
Ah, jeez. You never let me have any fun.
Yeah. So... we're going to be talking about that, and then we're going to talk about the Ikoria League. We do have our 8 contestants.
Woo!
We were only able to get 8, but we're waiting on deck lists now, hint, Walter. But if you're listening to this and you're one of the 8 that knows they're playing, start putting your deck list together. We want it as soon as possible. You know, spoiler alert. And then we'll, you know, just do our email and get on out of here. We got a few emails tonight, but that's our show. But let's get right into the Ikoria part of our show.
Main phase.
All right, main phase. So, it's spoiled. Everything's out.
It's here.
And, you know, bird's eye view. All right, let's take a step back here. What are you thinking? What do you think about this set? I mean, is it Dominaria level, War of the Spark level? You know, it's the third set, so that's, you know, is that what we're talking about here? Is this, because that's been the two previous releases, was Dominaria and War of the Spark at this slot. And both of them pivoted Standard pretty heavily.
They had fun with this set. I could tell they had a lot of fun with this set. There's a Porcuparrot. There's a freaking Porcuparrot. I mean, I'm looking at the art of this card. It's literally the head and neck of a parrot and then the body of a porcupine. It's freaking awesome.
It is pretty
awesome. It's so off the wall. I love what they did. I don't know. It's just like this set seems like a lot of fun. There's a lot of power. I would say it's not Throne of Eldraine ban half a dozen cards powerful. But
I'm okay with that.
I'm okay with that too. Levels, yeah. I'm okay, like I said before. I'm okay with them pushing the envelope and going a little bit too far. I think they pushed the envelope. I don't think they quite went too far. They definitely have some push stuff, some really powerful things in here. There's some cards that were sort of like, I don't want to say fan favorites, but people have been asking for these types of cards for a while. It's a good set. It looks like a really good set.
I don't disagree. I think, all right, so the whole set's out. And again, I didn't get a lot of time because it was the holiday weekend. I didn't get a ton of time to really be going all over the spoilers. But I did catch a few things, and I was keeping my finger at least a little bit on the pulse. Looking at it from a bird's eye perspective, I don't know that it's going to change Standard per se. I think a lot of the decks that are top tier of Standard are going to stay top tier. Like Sacrifice, Aristocrats got some toys. Control got toys. I think we're going to see Simic Flash come out of the graveyard. Because they definitely got a few toys.
There's a cycling deck in here.
There is a cycling deck in here, yes. So, I mean, there's... But I think the cycling deck is going to be more of a limited thing than it's going to be...
I don't know about that. Have you seen Unpredictable Cyclone?
Well, let me see if I can find it.
I'll read it off to you while you're searching.
It's not the Sharknado, is it?
No, but it is another cycling enabler.
Yes.
It is a rare enchantment for 3 and 2 red, and it says, if a cycling ability of another non-land card would cause you to draw a card, instead, exile cards from the top of your library until you exile a card that shares a card type with the cycled card. You may cast that card without paying its mana cost. Then put the exiled cards that weren't cast this way on the bottom of your library in a random order, and it has cycling too. So
yeah.
I mean, this is basically... Well, I don't need this particular creature. Let me cycle this creature. Oops, Galta.
And again, I'm using mtgnexus.com. It is on the screen, so I just want to give them a shout out. It's a good card, but it's a 5-drop. This standard is so fast. Like, it's still pretty ridiculously fast. Red is still pretty... The decks are fast right now. I don't know if a 5-drop... I mean, a 5-drop's a good game ender, but that seems... I mean, I guess it could be a game ender, but it seems more like a game enabler, and I think at the 5 spot, you want to start thinking about ending the game, not so much getting your game going and enabling it. You know? Mm-hmm. I don't know. I could be totally wrong here, but...
It definitely takes things in a different direction. I think one of the reasons that it might be hard to really gauge the power level of the set is because a lot of the things that they're doing in this set, they haven't really done before.
True.
So there's not really any sort of precedent to say, okay, well, they did it like this before. A lot of this stuff is like, whoa, what the heck is this?
Well, I mean, let's go right to the big elephant. Let's go to the big elephant in the room. Trilands. Like
the tricycle lands, yes.
We have tri-lands. Like you have it, yeah. Tri-lands, tricycle lands, whatever the hell you want to call them. Like we haven't. I can't. Were triad lands ever in Magic?
Not like, well, yes, there were
long ago, right?
There were lairs in Planeshift that produced three different colors. I believe in one of the Tarkir sets there were triple lands. These are the first ones that have basic land types, though.
Right, that's just it. It's like,
so they're fetchable. They do come into play tapped.
In Modern, they are fetchable.
Yeah, they do come into play tapped, but they do also have cycling three, thus Tricycle.
Right. Like, here's the deal. These will break Standard.
No.
Or Modern. I'm sorry. These are going to break Modern. No. And they are going to enable Pioneer.
They come into play tapped. Modern is way too fast.
I don't know about that, though. To be able to bring something in like that.
If you're in Modern, you're fetching Shocklands.
Yeah, that's true.
You're fetching Shockland. But they're not bad cards by any stretch of the imagination.
No, Pioneer would also be where I could see these coming into play.
We're sort of combating right now, but it's not actually combat. It's just kind of cool. But, I mean, what I love about these cards is that I remember as a kid when I started making my own cards.
Yesterday?
No. To you, maybe.
I know. Shut up.
I remember making triple lands that were literally the dual lands just with an extra land type. You know, they were absurdly broken. But I didn't know anything about, you know, balancing and power level at that point. I'm just like, well, why can't they have a plain swamp forest? Why can't they have an island mountain plains? There's no reason
exactly.
they can't do that. So let me just make them. And now they're here. I mean,
and now they're here.
They're good.
And I think those are going to be impactful.
They're fantastic. They will see play. They will definitely see play because if nothing else, they cycle. So if you don't need them early on, they become a different card, which is great.
And now I cannot help thinking that I honestly almost wish on the bottom for the flavor text, it says underneath it, stop asking about the fetch lands, it's not effing happening.
Yeah, that's basically what this says. I mean, they had said it before these came out, but this is basically a giant middle finger from Wizards saying, we ain't reprinting the fetch lands in Standard anytime soon, pal. It'll be at least another year.
Yeah, no, it ain't happening. Zendikar, if it was going to happen, it would happen in Zendikar. It ain't happening.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no fetch lands anytime soon.
Well, I mean, the original allied colored fetch lands were a Dominaria thing because it was on Otaria
for
Onslaught. So, I mean, they could theoretically put them wherever they want because the names are generic enough. They can sort of just be like, this set.
They could put it anywhere because they're like, we're wizards. What the hell are you going to do?
But... Speaking of fetch lands.
Yes.
The Secret Lair Ultimate Edition.
Roll eyes.
Yeah, so when they came out, Wizards was saying, oh, it'll cost probably, you know, we don't have an MSRP, but it'll probably be a little bit more than $165. And here's Star City Games selling for $350.
Yeah. So,
no, thank
TCG
you.
Player, $420.
No, thank you.
Not touching them. Not
and most stores are getting like two.
Yeah. I'm not touching them. It's not worth it to me for one. It'd be one thing if it was a playset. But
you can buy a one of each of those individually for less money than that.
Right. So you might as well. Well, no, you can buy a playset of the one you need. If you're playing Is It, you could buy four Scalding Tarns for about that. Maybe a little more, but I mean, and then you got the cards you need.
Tarns have gone down a little bit, but
I want to
jump back to Aquaria because they one of the things that they did, the fan favorite card that I was talking about, that they finished the cycle of, was the ultimatums.
Yes. So they're very excited about this.
I'm excited about these. They're ridiculous and limited. I don't know that they'll see play in Standard, but they're really good and limited, in my opinion, if you're playing these colors. So there's five of them. And the first one is called Eerie Ultimatum. It is a sorcery for 2 white, 3 black, and 2 green, so 7 mana. Return any number of permanent cards with different names from your graveyard to the battlefield.
That's
pretty ridiculous. The next one is Emergent Ultimatum, which is 2 black, 3 green, and 2 blue, sorcery. Search your library for up to 3 different monocolored cards with different names and exile them. An opponent chooses one of those cards. Shuffle that card back into your library. You can cast the other 2 without paying for them, and then you exile Emergent Ultimatum. Excuse me?
Yeah.
So it's like you die this way, or this way. Pick one. Oh, you pick the one that you don't want to die to, because you're going to die the other 2. That one's one of the best ones, I think, in my opinion. Genesis Ultimatum is the next one. 2 green, 3 blue, 2 red. Look at the top 5 cards of your library. Put any number of permanent cards from among them onto the battlefield and the rest into your hand. Exile Genesis Ultimatum. I mean, this is just ridiculous stuff, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm not. You're not wrong.
The next one is Inspired. Inspired Ultimatum. That's in Jeskai color. So 2 blue, 3 red, 2 white. Target player gains 5 life. Inspired Ultimatum deals 5 damage to any target, and then you draw 5 cards. Good card. This might be the worst of the 5. And it's still pretty good.
Well, you know where that's going to come in? That is the one I could see being played in Standard more than anything, because in a Jeskai Fire deck, you don't care.
You don't care.
You only care about the number, and turn 7, turn 8, it's a thing.
Yeah.
You know.
And then the final one is Ruinous Ultimatum. That's 2 red, 3 white, 2 black.
What is that color?
Mardu.
Mardu, that's right.
It's Mardu. Destroy all non-land permanents your opponents control. Excuse me?
Baking powder?
I beg your pardon.
Yeah. That you're not wrong. Those are...
Blow up the freaking world, but only on your side.
On their side.
Anybody else's side but yours. Just boom.
In Commander, I could see that.
That is
a great card in Commander. So,
but how many good Mardu commanders are there? I don't really know. Mardu's a tough combination.
Yeah.
But yikes.
So, yeah, for me, I mean, it's just, yeah, the ultimatums are going to be somewhat interesting, I think, and they're definitely going to see some, like I said, I think you're going to see the Jeskai for sure being played in, you know.
I know that Saffron Olive was talking about the companion cards today.
Oh.
And the one that he thinks is going to be the best one, I kind of agree with him. It's called Yorian Sky Nomad. It's a 4/5 legendary creature, bird serpent, for 3 and 2 hybrid white-blue mana. The companion requirement is your starting deck contains at least 20 cards more than the minimum deck size, so you have to be playing at least 80 cards to play this card as your companion. Has flying, it's a 4/5. When it enters the battlefield, exile any number of other non-land permanents you own and control. Return those cards to the battlefield at the beginning of the next end step.
Yep.
So it's a giant Thassa for your board. So you play 1 as your companion, 3 more in your main, you play 80 cards, and just a bunch of stuff that you love to come back into play repeatedly.
Oh, absolutely.
With Thassa.
Yes. You're not wrong. You know, the thing I saw that actually made me kind of think, Keenan, Bonder Prodigy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's a green and a blue. And frankly, it's annoying because it's like, oh, hi. Would you like to play Ramp again? Not that you ever stopped, but we're going to play Ramp again. And, you know, if you have Nissa and any number of other cards that do this, you're going to love life, like the big Nyx Bloom Ancient or whatever it is. But basically, it's whenever you tap a non-land permanent for mana, add 1 mana of any type that permanent produced.
Yeah, this wouldn't work with Nissa.
No, but I'm saying, like, yeah. With...
Oh, with, like with the whole group
yeah,
of them.
With like
yeah, yeah,
with
yeah.
Like all the ways you have
that whole
to tap,
Simic nonsense yeah. That we got going on.
Well, no, not just that, but imagine this: you tap a non-land permanent for mana. So, say you tap the Druid there that gives you 1 green.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so now I've tapped for a green, and Nissa lets me tap for 2, and now this is letting me tap for 4.
No, because Nissa only doubles your
forests.
Forests.
Right. Sorry, but still.
But it does. It doubles
it's
your mana
break,
mana dorks.
Yeah, it's really gonna.
Hey, wait! Surprise!
What's up?
It's another undercosted Simic Mythic. That's probably the best card in the set.
Yeah, you're not
because it is actually the most expensive right now. It's $40.
She's gonna be She's gonna be ridiculous. Yeah. So,
I really enjoyed. Where the heck was it? There's another. Gold card here. Winota, Joiner of Forces. This one's interesting to me. It's okay. A 4/4 legendary creature, human warrior, 2 a red and a white. Whenever a non-human creature you control attacks, look at the top 6 cards of your library. You may put a human card from among them onto the battlefield, tapped and attacking. It gains indestructible till end of turn. Put the rest of the cards in the bottom of your library in a random order.
Wow.
So this triggers off of each non-human creature that attacks. And each of those creatures that come into play gain indestructible, and they stay in play.
Right. Well, you're putting a human creature card, so...
Human, yeah, so... But there's lots of good humans.
There are. So, I mean, it's, in a way, it's kind of weird because I half expected them to do try to go tribal. And this is kind of like the anti-tribal card.
The shtick of this set seems to be cheat things into play.
Yeah.
There are so many effects that say cast this for free in this set. I haven't seen this many in a long time. I think we're going to run into some problems.
Yeah, I'm not disagreeing with you there.
Because there's at least a half a dozen cards that can cast stuff for free in this set.
Right. And you can't ban them all this time, folks.
Well, luckily, most of them are relatively expensive enough so that it's kind of hard to do it. I mean, Fiend Artisan is going to be stupid good. People are really looking forward to that card because it's basically, it's like a fixed Green Sun Zenith.
Mm-hmm.
It's Green Sun Zenith plus Tarmogoyf if they had like a baby. It's a 1-1 for two Golgari hybrid.
Why do you gotta say the T word, man? Why you gotta do that to me? Oh.
Tarmogoyf?
Ah!
Tarmogoyf.
Ah!
So 1-1 for two Golgari, so green black hybrid. Mm-hmm. Gets +1/+1 for each creature card in your graveyard. Pay X and a Golgari mana, green black hybrid. Tap, sacrifice another creature. Search your library for a creature card with converted mana cost X or less. Put it onto the battlefield, then shuffle your library. Activate as a sorcery.
You're not wrong.
I mean, pop an elf, make a titan.
Mm-hmm. Well, so that's pretty much it. The set's out there. You can find it anywhere, guys. But we should get into combat because, again, we've got a full show. So let's hop in.
Combat phase.
All right, combat phase. Aramis, I'm going to let you take this. But the combat tonight is... What cards do we think, and we normally do this right before pre-release, what cards do we think going to probably break standard?
And it's weird that you say that because we were talking about it right before we went live, and I can't believe this would have been the weekend of the pre-release.
It would have been the weekend of the pre-release.
It's crazy.
We'd be planning to go to pre-release. We'd be, talking about, thank you, Corona.
My Corona.
Oh, dear. So what are you thinking? What card? Did you pick, you can pick a couple if you want, but
the companion card that I mentioned, Yorion, looks like that could be very, very good. Loris of the Dream Den. I don't know if that's going to be necessarily standard, but a couple of these companion cards look like their build arounds aren't really that much of a restriction. It's more of here's a bonus because you're going to be starting basically when you're playing the companion cards. It's almost like you're starting with 8 cards in your hand. Which is kind of cool, and you're basically, it's always a good card, that 8th card, because it's a good creature with a good ability.
I don't see companion being standard. Like, I can't see, sitting down at a Pro Tour or Player Tour, whatever the hell it is this week, and, Reed Duke is sitting there with a companion deck against, Rakdos Sacrifice. While the 8th card is good, I just don't think, given where standard is right now, that it's enough. Because it's a one-of. Granted, you're assured to play it, but it's a one-of.
It's a one-of as your companion. You can still play 4.
Right, but it's still...
So you've got 3 others in your deck.
Yeah, I just can't see...
If this is,
I don't think companion's going to be a thing. I think companion's going to be... I think companion's what you build your sealed with.
I think
it. Like, we would have been talking tonight about the freaking sealed tournament this week.
Yeah, we would have been talking about, hey, if you open this in your pool, do you want to play this?
Like, we're going to have to do that in a bunch of weeks. Yeah, I don't know either. I really can't see that being a thing. My thinking is, and I said it earlier... I think the tri-lands are going to be a thing.
I don't think they'll be broken. Broken's a really strong word. They're good. They're very good cards. I love the design. I love that they're doing this. I love the flexibility that they're cycling. They will definitely see play in probably any deck that has those 3 colors. Because it's good fixing. If you have that in your opening hand or first couple of turns, all right, well, I have access to all 3 colors of mana. Later in the game, you can cycle it away for a better card. It's solid, but it's not, like, format-defining.
Yeah, I can understand that. But, I mean, I'm thinking, too, like, okay, so it doesn't have, like, the enemy. It doesn't have, like, Esper. It doesn't have,
Yeah, these are only the wedges, not the shards.
Right. So it doesn't have the shard land. Maybe they'll do shards in Zendikar, but...
Well, they'd have to have cycling again.
Yeah.
It'll be a while before we see the other half of this, if ever.
Core. I could see him doing it in Core.
I don't think so.
You know?
All right. Nope. They wouldn't repeat a mechanic that soon.
Well, they did with Hours and Amonkhet, didn't they?
Yeah, but that wasn't... It's not... This is the next time they've done cycling, and yeah, it's rotated true. Out. So they could be like another couple of years, but...
Well, in any event, I mean, here's the thing. I could see where, for you, I could see you doing, like, you know... All right, say for Esper, you might throw the Indatha and the Rogren in. You don't care about the red necessarily or the green, but, you know, and not just that, five color. Niv-Mizzet becomes an actual freaking deck. You know, like five color decks. What's it? Golos becomes useful again. All right, you know, it's just, I think these have way too much upside. The cycling mechanic in that as well. But I mean,
if there was a way to get them on the battlefield untapped
from the graveyard, yeah,
no, untapped, never mind from the graveyard. If there was a way to get them in untapped, then yo, heck yeah, they would see all kinds of play. Coming into play tapped, I think, slows them down just enough to where they're like, they're not a 5 out of 5. They're like 3.5 out of 5. They're solid. You're going to be very happy to play them, but it's not a linchpin in your deck. It's not, because with lands, it's hard to be like, when I think of a broken card, I think of a card like, you know, Nissa.
Yeah, or, you're not wrong.
You know, a card that says, answer me right away or you lose. These are not that.
You mean like the Ozolith? Because that Ozolith. I think is going to break standard. I'm sorry. That card there looks like the biggest freaking... busted.
This is one of those cards where it's really hard to gauge. Because this card is either... Okay, it's cute. It's fun. It fits with the set. Or like you said, it's busted in half. And it's just so early. We can't really tell.
Well, with all the counters and the ability counters is the thing. It's not just the plus ones and minus ones. Mm-hmm. And, although, God, the Ozolith in an Infect deck?
Oh, the Ozolith with the Planeswalkers.
True. The Ozolith in a Planeswalker deck. I mean, well, no, because it says whenever a creature you control. So maybe... Okay.
Well, I mean, well, Gideon's a creature sometimes.
Yeah, like
so
if you're doing
so
Gideon,
is Sarkhan.
Yeah.
Sarkhan's a creature sometimes.
Or any other Planeswalker that Sarkhan makes a creature.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, shit. So Sarkhan makes a bunch of guys Planeswalkers. You wipe the board. You put all of the damn counters on
all
Nicol Bolas. Put it all on Nicol Bolas.
And you lose. Yeah, so it would take some doing because you figure
it would. But
you have to turn them all into creatures, and then
kill the board,
play another Sarkhan to turn Nicol Bolas into a creature to get to combat. Then you can move the counters, and then you can end the game. So it takes a lot of work, but yeah, I mean, there's definitely potential here.
It's on your target creature.
It's got to be onto a creature, but there's ways to turn Planeswalkers into creatures, dude.
Yes. Yeah, but that's a little too. I was like, if it was target permanent, like that would be.
I think this is what the appeal of the set is, and I think you can agree with me on this one, even though we're in combat. I think this set basically is like the Brewer's Paradise. There are so many new ideas floating around in this set, and totally new directions that they've taken the game. That, I mean, really, the sky's the limit with this one. You'd be like, well, can we build a deck like this? Sure, why the hell not?
Yeah, you're not wrong.
And some of this stuff might be busted in half. I mean, like I said, it's too early to tell.
Justin says it best. One of my guys from work, he's like, and the ultimatums, yeah, listen, let's call it out, okay? They've already said Ikoria is commander. Like, the commander sets are meant to work with Ikoria. The ultimatums are 100% part of the, and probably the Trilands, really.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, they're all meant to kind of enhance Commander. Mm-hmm. And they will. But as far as Standard goes, yeah, I think the Ozolith is going to be the thing. I think the blue-green creature we talked about earlier is... And I do think the lands are going to have the bigger impact, especially post-rotation. Unless Zendikar gives us something to replace the Shocks with, then we are...
Yeah,
there needs
to be some kind of a dual land that comes
in. I gotta wonder if they're doing checks again. I wonder if they're gonna bring the checks back. I mean, it's a couple of years early, but
it could be checks. It could be buddy. I mean,
I
don't know.
Well, why? Because like, why make them the land type if it's not like we have nothing right now checking lands? for any reason.
True.
You know, so...
And we saw Theros coming a mile away when they started printing all those heavy colored cards in
right.
War of the Spark. We're like, okay.
Oh, Devotion's coming back eventually.
Yep.
Yeah. So I could put that out there, that Zendikar, and I mean, who was it that... Ron asked that. He's like, aren't we going back to Zendikar in the next block? It
End
is
of the year, yeah.
After Core.
After Core set, yeah.
The next one is Core, and then at rotation will be Zendikar. So the Shocklands are rotating out, which is what made everybody think, you know, Zendikar, it's the first set post-rotation, the Shocks are gone. Hey, we're going to get Fetchlands. They're not going to give us Fetchlands. They're going to give us...
Sad.
Oh, but God, if they did?
Oh, they're not.
If that's the reason they did this, it's like, yes, not only are we giving you Fetchlands, but welcome to Tri-Color Lands. It's like, thank you.
So,
but anyway, what about you?
What about me for the cards for Standard?
Yeah.
I like Labyrinth Raptor. As for an aggressive deck.
It's going to fit right into it's going to fit right into Aristocrats.
I mean, 2/2 menace for red-black. Whenever a creature control with menace becomes blocked, defending creature sacrifices a creature blocking it. Pay a red and a black. Creatures you control with menace get +1/+0 to end of turn. And there's also a card in here, I don't remember where it is, but it says creatures you control with menace can't be blocked except by 3 or more creatures. It gives them right. Super menace.
Right. I saw that too. You know what? Let me ask you this question then. Okay, let's pivot. I mean, we're in combat, but I'm going to pivot. Mm-hmm. Do you think humans... 5-color humans, or just humans as a you know,
tribal thing.
Yeah. There's some powerful humans.
There are a lot of powerful humans that are here. That, you know what? I don't know about Standard, but I know
it's
going to
make 5-color humans in Modern a thing again.
Oh, it's going to make humans in Pioneer a thing.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, you're not wrong.
So I could definitely see it in Pioneer. I don't know about Standard. I would love to be wrong and say that it would be a and you know it does become a thing, but I don't know. I think it's hard because we're not gonna you know obviously this comes out in Arena this week, but we're not gonna really have a chance to see what the meta cut turns into for probably another week or two.
Yeah, there's not any events.
There's no events.
People are playing everything virtual.
Yeah, they're going to keep that kind of close to the vest. I don't know when the next major event's going to be. So this is going to be a very interesting metagame. For the first time in a while, the information is going to be basically based on who you follow on Twitter. If you don't follow that person, you don't know. The Moth is going to be very good, especially
Dwayne
especially
says he likes
Pioneer.
The cycling dino, too.
Yeah. Oh, you.
Well, oh, the dino turtle?
The big turtle. I love that guy. He's so cool.
It's just, you know what? That's just funny as hell. Like, it's an example of, like, they're like, let's make a dinosaur and make it a turtle.
But the turtle has haste.
Yes.
And he's lost for, like, most of the game. But then all of a sudden, boom, he smashes your face in.
I think it's great. So, yeah, that was our combat. Let's, you know... I think we've got a pretty good idea. We'll go over a little bit more next week. We'll have some experience. And, I mean, we're starting Magic 101 here at some point. So
yes.
But let's get into our second main phase.
Main phase.
Because we have tons to go over tonight. Holy cats. Aramis has been waiting all night to talk about the Ikoria League for the box giveaway. That was really all that happened today. There was nothing else major going on. There were no real big announcements.
Stop it. You stop it right now.
Hey, I'm in charge, sir. I could take you, kick you right out of the room.
You can't tell me you haven't been waiting for this.
All right. I'm not, you know what? I'm not a drafter.
You should be.
I don't like to do things I'm bad at, okay?
Well, then get good.
Oh, nice. So the state of the game came out today.
Yes.
By the way, there was also a B&R, but I mean, it was exactly what we thought it was. So.
Well, they basically had already done it. Lutri's banned in Brawl. Oh, surprise.
Yeah. So the state of the game came out today, and, you know, basically they started off by talking about the fact that until May 21st, if you enter a limited event, you'll receive a Godzilla Monster Series card style in addition to normal event rewards. Great. Wonderful. I would really like those.
That's cool.
Please make that happen.
That is
so,
really cool.
You know, they really the big thing, and I like the fact they didn't bury the lead on this. They pretty much led with it. You are going to be able to draft Ikoria, Lair of Behemoth, with players. We have live drafting.
Yes. Eight-person pods.
I mean, bot drafting will still be there, but player drafting is a thing. And yeah, bot drafting will go away within a set.
No.
They'll stop it. You don't think?
They won't. And I can understand why they wouldn't, because the biggest drawback of drafting with other players is waiting for the other players to make their stupid picks.
Yeah, you got a point.
Or loading the queue, which is the only downside, is having to wait. But if you're willing to, you know, and I'm sure, you know what? This is the beginning of the end of Magic Online.
You think?
Yes, because there will no longer be a reason to draft release sets on Magic Online. And as they add old cards to the Arena client, that will lessen the reason more and more. I mean, I think Arena will still, Magic Online will still be around, because Vintage Cube is amazing, Modern Cube is amazing, the Expanded Cons Cube is amazing. Those will probably never or won't come to Magic Arena for several more years.
Okay.
Although I would love if Vintage Cube came to Magic Arena. My God, that'd be great. But there's why would you draft Ikoria on Magic Online when you can do it on Arena? It's cheaper.
Yeah.
It's so much cheaper. Especially if you're any good at the game and you're able to win these drafts, you can go infinite on this. If you're going, because you go 3-0, you get double your money back.
Right. So it is. It's starting Thursday, so it's right out of the gate. They're not even holding this thing off. It's not like, hey, we're doing this. No, it's right out of the gate.
And I'm surprised that it came this early.
Yeah, I'm not. I think that's what the queue was for. They wanted to kind of see how it would go.
Yeah, it definitely was, and I knew that's what it was. Is they were testing the sealed cube to see how people would react to it.
Right.
I was figuring the earliest we would see this would be Zendikar.
Yeah. So I think Zendikar will be mobile. I think that's when they'll hit mobile.
They're talking mobile release by the end of the year.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That'd be the time to do it.
Yeah.
Player draft is going to be available for best of one and best of three drafts.
Yes.
Which is good. You know, some people don't like to play best of three. They just, you know, they'd rather sit down and, especially if you got to deal with the drafting. Best of one bot drafts are still available and continue to rotate every 2 weeks. Best of three bot drafts are not going to be available. If you want to do best of three, you're doing player. And I agree with that.
Yes.
I think that's a fair trade-off, really.
Yep.
So
this really makes you actually have to pay attention to your picks. Mm-hmm. Have to pay attention. I mean, the one thing that they're not doing is actual pod drafting. So it's like the leagues on Magic Online, where you draft in your pod, but then you're playing against other people in the league. So there's a chance you'll see like duplicate cards that weren't in your pod.
Right.
But it really forces you to build a deck and build a sideboard.
Yep. So, and I'm not sure how I feel about that, but you know.
It forces you to play limited the way that it was meant to be played.
I do get that. So, you know. So, oh, where would I leave off here? Okay, so, like they said, the player drafts will function like leagues. You'll be placed at a digital table until you're paired with 7 other players. Once all 8 are queued up, you'll confirm your readiness before the draft begins. From there, the draft will commence similarly to how it would against the bots, with each player picking a card. You're only going to have 75 seconds early on to pick a card. So a minute and a quarter, they're saying. But after that, once it starts getting down, you're going to get 30 seconds, you know, it's going to get significantly less.
Yeah, it's sort of how they do it in real life on in bigger tournaments.
Mm-hmm.
You have X amount of time for the first card, a little bit less for the next, a little bit less for the next, until like the last card, you literally have like 5-6 seconds to just, but it's the last card in the pack, so you're just like, whatever, I got this.
Right, so...
So it goes fairly quickly.
Mm-hmm. So, and if you don't select a card, then the game's going to pick one for you, so...
Yep, so you get randomly hosed, or could get a bomb.
Yeah, so once it's complete, you'll be paired with players who have also drafted against others, though not necessarily in the same pod. So, yeah, you'll end up playing against things that you might be having in your deck, so...
Mm-hmm.
So it's nice. They're actually also giving us one free round of it, which is kind of nice of them.
Which is sweet. Yeah, nice little free sample. Here, you know, take it for a test drive.
Here, try this. And then start paying us. Mm-hmm. So
the first hit's always free.
Yeah, exactly. So this is going to be great. They're doing traditional, then they're doing premier, which is higher. It looks like Well, the fee is the same, 1,500 or 10,000. But, you know.
The gold option is new. Before, yeah, for best of three drafts, it was only 1,500 gems. So now you're actually able to pay with gold, which I think is great because that means you don't have to buy virtual currency to play a draft against other people.
Right.
Granted, the rewards aren't gold, which, okay. But you get a lot of gems. You have to go 3-0, but you get a lot of gems.
Yep.
So. 3,000 gems and 6 packs for 3 wins. So you get double your money back plus 6 packs.
Right. So
good stuff.
Definitely worthwhile. I like that it's not Phantom. I like, you know, that it's definitely a good way to build your stuff. So they talk a little bit more, you know, moving on. That was really their big thing. This is what they were going to talk about this month.
This was the big thing because they also mentioned that there will be cube drafting soon as well.
Yes. So they talked about more Friday Night Magic at home. That's going to keep going forward. I do it. I you know, have Steve send me card stuff and all that every week. It's really kind of great. So they're really kind of fun to play. I've been doing pretty well with them. I've been enjoying it. So,
well, they tweaked it.
Yeah, they did. A style and a cosmetic item and pets. So
yeah, it's like the promo packs you would get from your local game store. It's got a couple little extra goodies in it, and it might be avatars. Like they're showing off a Tameo avatar.
Yeah. So
which, you know, some of these things weren't previously available. So this whole update was like that, love that. When's Thursday?
Yeah, exactly. So they talked about in development, and I mean they did some UI changes. I mean, you'll follow those. It's pretty easy. They talked about the 64-bit client, which, you know, everybody kind of wants because, you know, they need to do that for Mac. Mac doesn't do 32-bit. That's been the problem. That's why they haven't done anything for the Mac, is that the Macs don't support 32-bit. And I know I'm getting geeky here. But basically, they're moving Magic to a 64-bit in June.
Yes.
So what's happening is that's what I'm figuring is going to happen, is that they're going to move it to 64-bit. They're then going to release Mac probably with mobile, probably in Zendikar. So my thinking there.
I mean, based on the way that they're talking, it sounds like the Mac OS will be coming first. It might be like right on the heels.
No, they have to do
other.
64-bit like before they do the Mac.
That's what I mean. But they'll do 64-bit and Mac OS. They're talking by the end of the summer, so probably like August, September. So right around the time Zendikar releases, where they'll have the Mac client released.
Right.
I would say probably by Christmas time is when they're shooting to do a mobile release, which, you know what? It'd be time for me to get a new tablet because I would absolutely play this on mobile.
Yeah.
Maybe not on a phone because the screen might be a little too small on a phone, depending on the model of phone you have. But on a tablet, like an iPad mini or something like that, this thing should be just...
Well, Zendikar doesn't come till fourth quarter.
Yeah, Zendikar is the last set, and that usually is like September.
Yeah, September, October, right?
Yeah.
Like
late September.
June, July is like core 20.
Yeah, so July is core 21. Teferi-thon, and then late September is going to be Zendikar.
Maybe they'll have a Teferi that's red. He's like completely changed what he does, and he's like, I'm on fire. So
of course, the thing is too, we're talking about all this as if these sets are going to release on time. We still don't know that the May 16th release for Ikoria is going to still happen.
Nobody knows what's going on yet. So
right. So this is all based on what the beer says.
So you know, and then they talk a little bit about Amonkhet Remaster and trying to get Pioneer in. We all know that's coming. And
good job.
Yeah, so it's good stuff, and they talk about the player challenges, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, that's the stuff they do need to work on. But
that sounds interesting. Yeah, I'm really interested to see what they come up with on that.
So, but that was pretty much the state of the game there. So the big takeaway there is the drafting. Everybody's going to be doing, you know, and here's the thing. I'm not a good drafter. This might help me become one.
Mm-hmm.
Because I didn't want to learn to draft through bot drafting. It wasn't worth bot drafting. No, that's not teaching you to draft.
It's not teaching you how to draft. You're actually going to be able to draft against other people. This was Magic Arena's biggest weakness, in my opinion, was that you could not do in-person drafting.
Right.
And now that they've fixed this, this really positions Arena to be, you know, the choice to play digital Magic. And now when they want to do players tours and things like that, you know, the world championship that we just had, now this is an option for them. They can actually do pod drafts on Arena.
Yep.
In premier tournaments.
Yep.
So they can do the whole thing on Arena now.
So that's kind of great. So, you know, with that though, let's get to our other main two big thing here. Okay, we've talked about it for a few weeks now. And you know, a few of our guys are already in here. We have our guys. We have our eight players for our win a box. So at this point we're locked down. You know, the eight players we have are mostly made up of our patrons. You know, they were the ones who signed up. There were a few that came in. There's one guy who came in from Canada who said, listen, if I win, I'm just going to donate my box to one of your students anyway. So I'm going to be putting together some sort of competition for my students. But that being said, I'm going to show this on the screen here. So
that's really nice of that one player.
Yeah, I really do. I'm excited about that. I hope he does well because, you know, that would be great for the guys. But mm-hmm. So, you know, here's our, you know, right now as things stand. This is our, you know, our bracket. So there's eight. So we have Ian facing Black Mage, Steve playing Zach, Walter's playing the guy from Canada, and George is playing Enchant Wombat. So, you know, and I put up a bunch of rules on the site. Basically, we need your deck lists now. We want to get this thing going. As soon as I have all eight deck lists, I will email them out to you guys, and that's when the clock will start. Once the pairings and the deck lists are in and sent to all the players, round one begins. Players are going to have around seven days. I mean, I may be like, you know, if I can get it out tomorrow, I may be like, listen, it's got to be done by Monday at 8 a.m. so we can talk about it on the show next Monday, you know, to get your first match in. If a match isn't played, we're going to, you know, Aramis and I, we are the judges. We have no investment in this whatsoever. We're going to look for who wasn't available, what were the circumstances. We'll make a ruling as to the worst case. You know, as to the winner, and if we can't make that ruling, we'll flip a coin. If that winner, you know, goes on and then fails to play another round, you're just out. Like, you know, you've got one, we'll give you one, and then after that, you're out. So,
because we understand that scheduling conflicts happen, things happen, life happens, especially these days. But, you know, if
that's why we're giving you a week. So it's not so like we're doing it on a Friday night. Like,
yeah, you should be able to get in contact with your opponent, figure out a time that works best for you, because realistically, the match shouldn't take more than an hour.
No. So it is a single elimination tournament. The format is going to be best of three standard. So in standard, guys, we are defining a standard as of today. That means no Ikoria guards are going to be legal. All right. Likewise, all the ban lists are enforced because you're playing in an arena. It's not like you can make it happen anyway. Right. Once you're cleared to begin round one, you guys, the expectation is you guys will go into the arena and friend each other so that you can set a time to play, talk it over. You can go to the Discord too, whichever one you want to do. And listen, guys, I would love it if you wanted to stream your match, if you've got the ability, and you want to stream it with the hashtag PlanestalkersIKO, like, I'm down. Well, we will even, if you tell me you're going to stream it and you give me your Twitch information, I'll make sure the Twitch, you know, for the next couple of days until you guys play, we'll put your stuff on our channel. So I'd love to see that. So once a time to play is agreed upon, this is the big thing. Okay, you've got to email us with the subject table X, so whatever number table you're at, which is in our Discord, scheduled for the date and the time. This is then going to be set in stone, okay? Now, we understand that things happen, internet connectivity, other things come up. Everybody needs to be cool, and I think we would be. If you don't think you can make your time, just make every effort to notify your opponent, try to reschedule, let us know through email of the change. If you cannot reach your opponent, make sure to post in the Discord and email and email us to let us know you've been trying to reschedule, you can't make it, you know, because if you don't show up, okay, then we're just going to consider it a forfeit. So if I've been told when the event is and we haven't heard from you and, you know, your opponent shows up in Discord and he's waiting for you to come in and you don't get there, well, that's a forfeit. You didn't come to the table in time. So, again, no, we're not going to be hard and fast about it, but obviously things can, especially in these times. We need you to download and to use Discord. That's going to be our main communication hub for this. At the agreed upon time to play, all parties, I want you to log into the Discord. Go into your table even, because then you guys can talk to each other because it's a voice table. You got to log into the Discord and communicate to verify that you're ready to play. You know, maybe post in the general channel too to allow the judges to see that you're there, just again for some visibility. You know, our server's at, and I posted that in the rules, at your match time, you know, you will make sure you're both online. Then you're just going to go right into Arena, direct challenge each other, and go. This will make sure you both know your opponent is at their PC and they're ready to go. So when you go into Discord, make sure Arena's up. You're good to go.
Yeah.
Once you win 2 out of 3 matches, okay, the winner, the victor, has to take a screenshot of the victory window in Arena and be sure that the opponent's name is clear. For this to happen, guys, I don't want a phone picture. You got to use the print screen button on your keyboard. It's PRTSCN or use snipping tool, which is in Windows 2, to highlight, paste it into an email and send it to me. All right. We need to be able to see it clearly. That's why I want to have no, problem there. So phone pictures get weird. Try to use print screen.
Yeah. You can even paste it into like Paint.
Yes. So even if you know, okay. And then here's the thing. So once you play your three, even if you know who your next opponent is, so say the second bracket's already done and you're in the first bracket, we don't want you guys to move on to the next round until, without speaking to Aramis and I, because really I'd like to have all 8 play. And if you guys get all 8 done by, say, you do it tomorrow and you've got it done by Thursday, all right, we'll go on. Well, I'm not going to make you guys wait a week. Like, we'll go on. We'll go to round 2, to second brackets, and then 7-day clock starts there. All right, I got no problem with that, but you just need to talk to me so we can get that squared away. Realize that Aramis and I are the judges, and we are available to you as needed. However, we do both have jobs. We have families. We have kids. We may not be able to make the call right away that you need and all that. Let Arena do a lot of the stuff. But if there's a problem with scheduling or anything like that, make sure that you bring us in the loop. We want to be available to you. And that's one of the reasons I'm having you scheduled through email, too, is that I will know that you're playing so I can kind of make sure that I've got my phone near me and things like that. Now, if it's 3 o'clock in the morning, y'all on your own. don't be calling my house at 3 o'clock. None of y'all have my number anyway. All right. Number 9, all the deck lists are going to be shared. That's why we need you guys to email them to us right away. So it is incumbent upon each participant to keep the other player honest. If your opponent discovers that you've made a change to your deck list, post deck list submission, you're going to be removed from the tournament automatically. It's just an automatic DQ. You're out. I highly recommend that for this tournament, you use clone. If you're playing a deck, clone it, name it, tournament deck, whatever you got to name it so that you don't accidentally go in and, because we're talking weeks at a time here. This could go for 3 weeks. Make sure that, you're keeping your deck solid. All right. Yep. Once it's in, it's locked. All right. So, and I can't take I was using this earlier and I swapped it and did this, that, or the other thing. It can't fly. All right. I need you guys to, make a tournament deck and keep it in amber for this event. And then the winner is going to be rewarded a box of Ikoria once paper shipments begin. Bear in mind our sponsor, Kerwin's Game Store, is not operating at this time. So they will not be. I've talked to Steve. He's not opening up again until New York State authorizes non-essential workers to go back to work. So after it might still be a bit of time to fulfill given our current state. It depends on when Wizards does it, what he's got in his business, et cetera, et cetera. There's going to be a whole lot of chaos for a couple of weeks. So it may take a bit to get your box, but I guarantee you, you're getting your box. Okay, the winner of this is getting a box some way, somehow.
Yep.
All right.
So to keep an eye on your mail, on your shipping and all that stuff. Because in all honesty, New York State, it might be several weeks to a couple of months before things get back to some kind of normal.
So, and we will make sure, and believe me, we are not, Josh can tell you, he's one of the guys playing and he won our last box. I mean, Kerwin's makes it worthwhile too. So, but be that as it may, we're trying something new, and maybe this isn't the exact right time for us to be trying to do something like this, but I think it's also the best time because everything is, everything's different.
You need a little bit of excitement in a time like this.
All right, Walter sent his list. So I've got 3 out of the 8. We still need 5 more. The minute I get those 5, man, that I will send you all an email and boom, we hit the clock. So I'm excited for this. I can't wait to see what happens. I mean, you want to start placing bets? I can do that, man. I mean,
I'm staying out of this. I just want to watch and enjoy. I want to see what I kind of want to see if someone comes up with like a crazy brew and just takes down the field.
I've seen a few of the lists. There's not. It's not all meta. So I'm kind of excited. I probably shouldn't say that, but you know, don't think you're going to roll in with Rakdos Sacrifice and run the table.
Well,
you
mean, since it's not meta, it could be anything. It'd even be a boat.
Yeah.
It could be a boat.
Oh, this would be good. So, I mean, believe me, there was a part of me that wanted to do Historic because I've been playing Historic a lot. Like, I am playing Historic. I mean, the Treasure Hunt deck is just balls fun. Yeah, it's janky as hell and annoying to lose to, but...
It does nothing or you win.
Yes.
Literal nothing or you literally win.
So, I mean, that and the white life gain deck is ridiculous in Historic. So, but, and I mean, so I wanted to put this on the air because, I mean, we've been kind of PPing on Historic. You know what? At a time like this where Standard's kind of figured out, it's kind of okay to have that. I kind of enjoy playing. It's like, it's a little something different than Mono Red or Sacrifice. This is good.
Good. So, well, yeah. I'm happy that people are enjoying Historic. Like I said, I'm still disappointed with how they ended up doing the format. But
oh yeah, it's not what I want, but it's better than, you know.
It'll eventually be Pioneer anyway, so.
Oh yeah, of course. So with that, like, we do have some emails I want to get to. We're going a little over, but screw it. We knew this was going to happen tonight. So, and again, you know, we like to, you know, talk about our patrons. We tell them they get, you know, priority email. So here's Walter's deck list because he just emailed us. I'm just kidding. I'm a dick. All right. But no, Walter did email us today. He said, hey, guys, I saw a post that came out on WotC that with Ikoria, they are doing live drafts, which I think is pretty cool. Yes, we just had that. But only three more days away till set release. It sucks we can't get physical copies, but gives us all something. Until then, are you guys planning to doing set mastery, or do you think it's a waste? That's an interesting question. Maybe that is something to talk about next week, is the way they change mastery pass. Cause,
yeah. I mean,
we're going to buy it. You're going to buy it. You're not going to not buy it. Yeah.
I already did.
Did you buy it? Did you pay the $100? Did you do like the mastery pass and the pre-order?
I wanted the kitty.
Jesus, Aramis.
I wanted the kitty.
Well, yeah, we're all you know, working from home, and you know, finances are a thing. But you know, all right, whatever.
Well, we both still have our full incomes.
Oh, yes, we do actually. So yeah. I'm waiting till Thursday. So
yeah, I got both, and I'm looking forward to it. I mean, yes, they kind of nerfed it.
Yeah.
Which kind of sucks, but...
A lot. They nerfed
it a
lot.
Yeah, they did. They did.
But you knew it was going to happen. Like, we knew this back... We said this in Eldraine when they started. It's like, yeah, it looks great now. And every year, they'll take a little bit more and a little bit more. Uh-huh. They're on what I like to call the Activision Call of Duty. So he goes on to talk about, you know, that he plans to go to Friday Night Magic at LGS. Yes, so do we. I can't wait to go back to Carowinds. I'm looking forward to sitting across the table from Aramis and, you know... losing to him again. So I'm curious.
You beat
you guys
me the last
time
we played.
Yeah, I did.
You got the last win, so you have the bragging rights right now.
So we talked about our favorite cards. He's saying the Brood Moth is actually being a menace if not taken care of. What you have to say if you covered, and I'm just spacing the quarantine is real. we appreciate that, Walter. Yeah, we kind of went over that. The Moth is also a decent card.
The Moth is stupid and Pioneer.
Yes. So Miguel Sanchez also wrote us in, and he said he was like, greetings, guys. Oh, Mike, sorry. Hope you guys are doing great with the quarantine for the COVID and all this situation. But as Aramis said, let's talk about the cards. And this time I'd like to share with you my favorite cards for the Ikoria set. Jeskai is going to get some nice support. I find very interesting the synergy of the cards. I will try to make a deck around them, and when it is done, I will share it with you so you have your opinion. His picks are Narset. We never even talked about it. Narset's actually... pretty good.
I'm on the fence with Narset. I'm not sure about this Narset.
You know what? No. I want to be this guy. No, I'm all about Narset. Narset's going to get banned. Narset's a Oko. Because we missed the boat on Oko. I want one of us to be right.
yeah, we totally missed the boat on
Oko. Yeah, everybody did. Nobody saw that card coming.
Well, they did after like 10 minutes of reading the card. Yeah. But when they first saw it, they're like, what does this even do? Oh.
Inspired Ultimatum, which we talked about, and Vadrox, Apex, and Thunder. That's also a pretty good card.
Yeah, the Apexes are all good.
He's also excited about the Ikoria League. I'm your number 7, but I have a question. How do I search the Planeswalkers Discord channel? I have no idea. Good question. So, send me your planes. Send me your deck list there, Shock Jock. We need that. So, Rick Grace wrote us in. We haven't heard from Ricky in a while. He said, hey, guys, hope all is well. If you're still looking for more people for the event, I'd be game to give it a shot. If not, that's fine. I'll get in the next stinks and be safe. Yeah, Rick, we actually already have our eight guys. But you know what? Here's the thing, guys. If somebody wants to get seven more friends before we have to do deck lists, I'll start a second bracket. I'm kidding. We're good.
if this works out and we do this again, yeah, then we'll definitely put him in for the next one.
Yeah, for sure. You know, Walter sent us his deck list for the play-by-deck we have to do. George talked to us about the play-by-host. Nathan wrote it. We haven't heard from him in a while. He said, you know, just checking in, letting you know I'm still alive. Sorry I missed this week. We'll check in on the next broadcast. Dude, he works as a medical transportation driver, so He's been a little busy. He might be a little busy.
So props to him.
Yeah, exactly.
Props to all the people working in the medical field, because you guys have been getting your butts kicked for the last month and a half.
Totally. So, all right. So that's it. Looks like we've got our people. So that's mostly all the right. Yeah, that's all the emails from that. So we have no new iTunes reviews to talk about. So
boo.
Yeah, what's wrong with you people? So you know, but let's just get to it. We're a little bit over.
End step.
Okay, so as we get to end step, both Aramis and I want to remind you that we do stream Arena on the Planestalkers podcast. We did a show last week. Well, actually, Aramis and Walter did. They did the Play the Host cast, and that is up on our site right now. And I got to break Aramis's OBS while doing it.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, you're welcome.
I don't know what you did.
Merry Christmas. but we do stream Arena on the Planestalkers podcast channel on Twitch. Look up Planestalkers podcast. You can also follow me on Twitch at Mindcrime73.
And if I ever figure out what the heck he did to my Twitch, you can follow me at RMECWRX. I don't know what he did. He pushed some buttons. He did some clicking. And I was like, what the heck? Okay. It's a thing. Anyway, RMECWRX on Twitch. Anytime that I stream, it also goes up on the Planestalkers podcast channel. So if you want to find me there, I'll be there. But if Twitter is more your speed, you can find our show at PlanestalkerPod on Twitter.
And you can follow me on Twitter at WRBenson. But, I mean, at this point, I'm using it just to follow John Krasinski's Some Good News. Man, that thing is all right. I'm down with him. And this isn't even me being funny, man. That's an all right thing to watch. So, you know, but pretty much I don't post there all that often. But when I do, I do. And actually, I think I accidentally sent out an ad this week. So that was awkward.
Oopsie.
Yeah. But you can also follow us on Facebook. Just go to our Facebook page. It's facebook.com/planestalker. Not planestalkers, but planestalker. That last S we took off for savings. So like and follow our page there, and you'll see us record this every Monday night around 8:00. So we'd love to have you.
Absolutely. And finally, you can send us emails like you guys have been doing this past week. That was awesome. Where you can ask for advice or on the Ask Aramis section, or you can just send us an email to see, you know, suggestions about the show. Hey, I have this great idea for a deck list. Or, hey, what do I do with this draft?
Or, hey, Will, drink this beer.
Or that, yeah. I mean, especially if it's invisible. Because, again, that's
if it's
the
a green
kind.
Label. In other words, he wants me drinking Heineken every week.
I don't care because I don't drink. But, you know, it's just cool to see invisible
that.
Beer.
I can't do that much. Oh, Heineken.
Anyway, if you do want to send us an email, our address is podcast@planestalkerspodcast.com.
And I want to remind you guys that I do host another podcast. It's on the television show DC's Legends of Tomorrow. It's called Legends TV Talk. We record Sundays after the episodes, but I mean, they've been on hiatus thanks to that. But you can find us on Facebook at Legends TV Talk. You can also find us wherever you catch a podcast. Don't forget, guys, we also want to encourage you to write iTunes reviews. They do help the show. Again, we've been trending and stuff, so go in there, leave us a review, preferably positive, preferably 5 stars. But, you know, with information there about what, you know, all that stuff. And if you can't leave us a 5-star or you can't leave us a good one, just email us and let us know why. I want to fix it. But it really does put eyes on the show. It helps us to really grow the show in new and exciting ways. So please go and do that. We do a drawing every month where we send cards to a winner. So, and you're in it till you win it. So, but with that, we want to thank you guys very much for listening tonight to the Planestalkers podcast. We had a great time. I can't wait to play Ikoria this week. They're going to have a bunch of events, sealed events, stuff like that. So make sure you're on Arena doing that. But we're going to get on out of here. For Aramis Perez, this is Will Benson saying thank you very much for listening. We really enjoyed being with you tonight, and we want to remind you to keep all your mana untapped because you never know when you'll need it. Take care and have a great day.